Turn your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, or open up your phone to BibleGateway.com or whatever biblical app you like to do. And we're going to read just these two verses this morning, and let me read them to you. Everybody there? You okay? I'm going to give you time to find 2 Timothy. It's after 1 Timothy. Good. This is what it says. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all of God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right? All Scripture is God-breathed. So let's talk about breath this morning. I did a Google search real quick, just out of curiosity. How many breaths does the average human take per minute? What is your guess per minute? 89. Wow. You might want to check your breathing pattern, 89 breaths. I don't know what you're doing, but good Lord. What did you say, Ray? 200, yeah. All right. Well, Carol, you might... We're going to have to get you to John Muir. 200. But the average is 12. If your blood pressure is level... this is Google, so we can't, trust everything that Google says. It's the average human based on a restful heart rate and that you're just chilled. The reality is most of us aren't always experiencing rest. We're in this thing called traffic, which might heighten it to 200, I don't know, and then work. It might jump up and down. But just paying attention to the breath that God has given to us is what I want to explore this morning. I want to talk about God-breathed. How is it that Scripture is God-breathed? And when the Apostle Paul talks about this Bible, this thing that we read and we interact with as being inspired by God's very breath, what is Paul talking about? There's lots of ideas, lots of theory, lots of speculation out there as to what that means exactly, but I do want to explore that this morning. Now, what's interesting to me is that this is the only time this word breathed, that Scripture is God-breathed, is used in the entire Bible. It's only used one time. And what Paul does here is he takes this Greek word, there are two Greek words, and he combines them together to create this idea that the Scripture that we read is God-breathed. Now, the two words that he uses here, first, theos, which means God, and the second one, pneustos. So theos pneustos is the word that he uses, God-breathing. So all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture that we read and interact with is God-breathing. Theos and pneo, God or God-breathing. Breathing. So let's look at this word paneo for a moment. How does this word help and shape our thinking of Scripture? The word paneo comes from the Greek, and it's attached to words in the English language. Like, we have words like pneumonia, we have words like pneumatic, which connect to breath and spirit, but it's also connected to another word in the Greek language called pneuma. Anyone know what pneuma means? Take a guess. Spirit, okay? That pneuma is connected to spirit. So what's interesting is that this idea of God breathing, this idea of theos pneustos, paneo, is connected also to pneuma, to spirit. So God breathing and spirit, breath and spirit, are connected together. These two words are always connected together. Now, you will find this dual meaning in a lot of different languages. For example, in the Hebrew language, the word ruach is what is used to describe what God is like. He's like a wind. They describe God in the Old Testament as the ruach hagodesh, which is a mighty rushing wind. How do we describe God? Well, God is like a wind. He blows. We can't really contain him. He's like this spirit and breath. Then in the Latin, They use the word spire. So if you connect spire to this idea of breath and spirit, and you bring that into our language, we have words like expire, right? So when something expires, what does that mean? It means that life is leaving something, or breath is leaving a person. That person has expired. Or if a person perspires, right, they're sweating. You kind of get that. And if a person is inspired, what does that mean? That means that something is being breathed into them. So when we say that God's word, the scripture, is inspired, we're saying God has breathed into it, or is breathing into these words that we read on this page. So when you're inspired as a person, or you feel inspired, we can link that to this idea that something is being breathed into you. You're being breathed into. Something is bringing you to life. For a moment, you may feel inspired, and in that moment where you feel inspired, we might use terms like, man, I feel like I'm clicking on all cylinders, right? I'm clicking. I have found my groove. I'm in the pocket. There's all these different phrases that we use to say, I feel inspired in this moment. It's like something has been given to me and something is coming out of me as a result of feeling inspired. It's in those moments when we feel like something inside of us is coming alive and we're waking up. Like, whoa, something's happening deep inside my soul, and I don't know how to explain it other than to say I feel inspired in this moment, which I think leads to this bigger, great truth that's all for all people, is that all of us are breathed into. Every last one of us has been and are currently being breathed into. Now, if you go back to the beginning of the biblical narrative, we see God in the opening chapter of Genesis chapter 1, we're given this creation poem, and God is described as a spirit hovering over the waters. Then this spirit begins to speak, and when he speaks, things are created and formed. Then you get to the end of the poem, and it says that God then begins to speak into the dust of the earth, and he breathes into humanity, and humanity comes into existence. So the very breath of God breathes into the human comes to life after he speaks and breathes into the dust. And if you remember months ago, we talked about how God, this breath, this spirit, revealed himself to Moses. He reveals himself first and foremost as what? YHVH. And the only way to pronounce that without any vowels is like, that's the best we can do. And so God reveals himself to Moses as breath. He just simply says, I am. Bottom line, I am. I am breath. I am spirit. Which leads us to you. So let's talk about you for a moment. You are made of skin and bones, blood and hair, brain cells. For those of you that have some of those left, that you haven't destroyed too much, you do have some brain cells, fingers, and toes. All of these things describe your physical nature. This is what makes you human. All of these elements of who you are as a person, your material essence. But that does not fully describe you, does it? Because you have hope, you have love, you have longing, you have desire. You have these things that you can't really contain in the physical realm, and you can't just stick it in a test tube somewhere and say, this is the result of that. There's parts of you that are kind of like this different type of essence that describe who you are as a person. So you have to take both these physical parts of you and these other parts of you and combine to make you who you really are. So like you have the tangible dimension, the things that you can see and touch and feel and experience. And then there's the intangible dimension, your joy, your love, your passion, your hope, all those things that make you you. So what I think we are is we're a beautiful blend of both spirit and breath. We're a beautiful blend of the two things coming together, the tangible and the intangible coming together to make you who you are. It's like, what would we be without a spirit? We would be soulless. We would just be physical beings. And what would we be without the physical? we would just be kind of this idea, this disembodiment of ideas. So we have to have both the physical and the other to come together and make us who we are. Where am I going with this? All right, good. What is love without the embrace of another? What is hope without an actual beating heart that operates in space and time? You have to have both. Now, if you've ever been around somebody who is on their deathbed and they're getting ready to pass, if you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about, because you're there, you're looking at them in their physical body and they're lying there, but their breath is labored and slow, and you have this sense that something is leaving them, right? There's something going on that is leaving them. How do you even begin to describe that in that moment? It's not something you can see. It's not just something that you can measure in a lab, in a test tube. And yet somehow you know that something that is so vital to how that person is and who they are is about to expire. Something is about to leave them. So when I think about that and in my own experience of having been in the presence of somebody who has passed on, I begin to understand, like, this is why I think almost every language and every culture takes the idea of spirit and breath and has to combine the two, that you can't separate them. They're inseparable, and they connect together, because we humans have this innate awareness that breath is connected to our very existence. Breath is what sustains us. If you've ever been held underwater too long, for those of you who have been in that thing called the ocean, and that wave comes and it just drops on you one after another, and if you've experienced that and it pushes you down and you don't know which way is up, what are you fighting for in that moment? For your breath. You're fighting, like, every instinct inside of you is going, you have got to breathe. You've got to get your breath. If you've ever been whitewater rafting and have gotten tossed over on the edge and get caught in one of those, like, washing machine type things where they just push you down to the bottom and then eventually spit you out, you become so aware of your breath in that moment. It's like you understand the deepest part of your existence is this breathing thing that goes on. So you're striving to take a breath. So your breath has a physical element to it. It's got the physical part that can be measured and detected, but then our breath is also attached to this unseen reality that we're not quite sure what to do with it exactly. And somehow the breath that we can't see, even though we can still smell it in some of your cases, actually sustains your existence. It sustains you at your deepest level of being. If you're alive, what does that mean? You're breathing. Thank you. Good answer. Ding, 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 ding. You win $20. And I think what we're doing is we're just trying to explain what happens in the physical realm. So, have you ever noticed that when people will talk about the spirit of something, they will describe the spirit of a team? Have you noticed that? They'll describe the spirit of a team or the spirit of a home or the spirit of a person. When we're trying to describe something, we'll oftentimes talk about the spirit of that person. Or how about this? Have you noticed how often we talk about the quality and the character of something in ways that can't be measured by any tangible means? So let's talk about music for a moment. As a musician, music moves me. It absolutely moves me. And there are certain pieces of music that when I listen to, it is really inspiring to me in unique and different ways. So the other day, I'm sitting in my office, I'm working on my sermon, and I've got my Pandora station on, and it's like some of the best funk that I've heard in a long time. It's just like all of these bass lines, and Peter comes walking in, and I almost want to just say, Peter, stay in the den of funk, because right now, things are happening in this room. We're inspired by this. There was just something that was clicking deep inside my soul. So when I hear certain kinds of music, I feel very inspired. We might say, well, that particular piece of music inspired me. And what are we saying? It's like that piece of music was breathed into. That person who wrote that song, they were like in tune with something else. It was very inspiring. Now, if you break the song down, it's just a bunch of notes and chords. harmony, volume, the physical, tangible elements that make a song a song. But then there's something else to it. And some of you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not crazy here. Where you're just talking like, I don't know how to describe it, but this song, this particular piece, is so inspiring and so moving. What is that? It's the tangible and the intangible coming together to make this thing whole. And it's inspired. It's been breathed into. Something has been breathed into it that has filled it with goodness and beauty, and it's inspiring to your soul. And what's so strange to me is how often a song, a piece of art, a poem, a story can actually be comforting and healing to your soul. Something that is inspired. We say that particular piece of writing or that song or that scripture verse was inspired and it made me feel alive. There was something that connected to me on the inside. And you feel a sense of healing based on that piece of music. Now Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing, and he's writing about these things that he calls the scripture. He says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's God-inspired. It's theos punestos, God-breathing. Now, when Paul, who is an observant Jew, talks about the scripture, what is Paul talking about? He's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the prophets. He's talking about the wisdom writings. And he is saying the Torah, the prophets, the wisdom writings, these scriptures are God-breathed. Now, we look at that and we say, are these books? Yes. But are they more than books? Yes. How do you explain that? I don't know. They're books, and yet they're more than books. They're words, and yet they're more than words. Now, what Paul says about these words, he says all of this scripture is what? He says it's useful. But what is it useful for? That's the first thing. He says that these things are useful. Now, Paul uses this word ophelimos, and the word ophelimos is beneficial. Beneficial or profitable. He says these words are beneficial and profitable, these God-breathed words. For what? To help us do good in the world. That's what it says in verse 17. Thoroughly equip us for every good work. That's actually what he says, that God uses these words to actually prepare us to do good in the world. So when a man like Paul, a good Jewish man, talks about doing good works in the world, he's basing it on this grand idea called the mitzvot. And the mitzvot is deep inside Hebrew consciousness. The mitzvah is all of these beautiful regulations and rules on how to do good in the world. These are the kinds of things that we should be participating in. These are the kinds of things that we should be doing as people to help the world move forward in the right direction. How to make the world a better place to live, to be, to feel, how to help our fellow humanity grow and evolve and move forward. And he talks about equipping us to do certain good work in the world to help restore and repair everything that has been broken. Now, in the Mishnah, okay, this is different than the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that which is to help us do good in the world. The Mishnah are these group of writings that are based on rabbinical rabbi's teachings, okay? So the Mishnah is really important to the Hebrew mind and the Jewish thinker. There's this word they use, and the word is tikkun olam. How many of you guys have heard that word before, tikkun olam? I always like saying it like I'm from Southern California. It's tikkun olam. All right? Like, just chill. It's a good word, tikkun olam. Tikkun olam literally means world repair. Okay? World repair. To repair and restore everything that is broken and heading in the wrong direction, and to help perpetuate it and moving it in the right direction towards a more just world. That's the main idea. That's the mitzvah. That's the Mishnah. So when Paul talks about repairing and restoring and the scriptures helping us to do good works, he's talking about all of that which helps to repair and restore everything that has been broken. So how does all of that work? Well, when we read the scripture, we look for the big trajectory over Scripture. And what I see when I read Scripture is this constant affirmation that life is good. It's good. It's sacred. Life, breath, it's a sacred gift from God. There's all of these God-breathed moments every day. And every breath we take, every step we make, every move we make, right? Got to incorporate sting in there somehow when we're talking about breath. Have you ever noticed, because life is so sacred, and because each breath that you utter is so sacred and it's a gift from God, have you ever noticed how difficult it is for that to be the driving narrative of your life? That life is good and beautiful, and that humanity is good and beautiful. Have you noticed how difficult it is to actually allow that to be the driving narrative of your life? Very difficult. It's a lot easier to be numb, to be bitter, to be cynical. I think it's easier to be jaded. I think it's easier to roll your eyes a lot, check out, mail it in, man. Just mail it in. Taking each breath that you've been given for granted. Taking it for granted. 12 breaths per minute on average, roughly 17 to 18,000 breaths per day. God breathing into you, you being a recipient of that God breath. You are God breathed. You too are inspired. That's fascinating to me right now. Each breath. You know, one of the most common things that I hear as I read through some of our early church fathers and some of their practices of trying to center themselves in the Scriptures and in God is this common theme that I see over and over again is pay attention to your breath. Pay attention to your breathing. That somehow paying attention and this awareness that God has breathed into you, this sacred breath, is connected to who He is, Yahweh. YHVH. This breath is in sync. So as I slow down and listen to my breath and some of my own practices, and what I often do is I will sit and slow my breathing down and just listen to my breath and say, thank you, Jesus, for my breath. Thank you for breathing into me this life, this breath, this beautiful gift, paying attention to the divine breath that has been breathed into me, saturating my mind and my heart with the words that have been inspired by God breathing them into existence. It's so important, I believe, to pay attention to the breath that God has given us. So what does all of this have to do with the Bible, with Scripture, that it is God breathed? What I find as I open the Scriptures and I read through them and I let them pour over me is that I'm reading more than just a book of ideas and information, more than just historical documentation, more than just metaphor, more than just all the things that we put into these categories, that these are books, yes, but they're more than that. And what happens as I read them is I wake up and I remember and I link my heart to what really matters. And sometimes I find myself listening, meditating, paying attention to my own breath and to the words of God, and I feel like my eyes are opening up for the first time and I'm beginning to see things in a different and unique way. Secondly, what's really important when we're reading the Scriptures is this constant affirmation that how you respond to this gift of life really, really matters. It really matters. There's lots of people shaping how we think, and there's lots of influences in the world in which we live that would tell us that life is just a meaningless slide into nothingness. It's just like a single slide into nothingness. It's just a series of mundane activities, and life will truly begin after we die. And so that's what we have to look forward to. I think the Bible heads in a different direction. And that's not the trajectory that I see in Scripture. I think the Bible invites us to live. I think it invites us to love. I think it invites us to hope. I think it invites us to more here and now. That this life that he's given to us matters. And the Bible constantly says that we can make choices to live our lives in a particular way. That each day, each moment is full of the possibility of God breathing into something, and that you can decide how you want to use your breath and how you want to use your energy, and either you can help build up and help repair, or you can take it in a different direction. There's a choice every day and every moment. You can help move things in a different direction. You can do that and participate in Tikkun Olam, the participation of doing world repair, believing that God is taking us somewhere good. That's the affirmation that I see over and over again. Or you can take each breath for granted and head in the different direction. That's your choice. You can become indifferent, perpetuating more and more and more disconnection with others and even with yourself. This sacred breath that we've been giving. Now, when I read the scriptures, what I see is story after story after story of some very flawed and messed up people who I would say probably have very pathetic batting averages. They're just kind of middle of the road, ordinary, mundane, all kinds of things going on. But what I see over and over again is they're doing the best that they can with what they've been given. And they're striving for something more. And what I see in Scripture is this driving narrative is that because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, new creation now exists. That's what I see. That's the driving thrust of it. There is new creation happening every moment. And that in each and every moment, each and every breath that you take, you can spend your energy and your time focusing on these things that matter. That new creation is just around the corner. That you're just one breath away from something breaking through. A story that is full of hope for the world, full of hope for humanity, full of hope for your situation and your events. And that the things that God breathes into means that the story isn't over. And that because of resurrection, all things are becoming new. All things are moving in that direction. That also means the last word has not been spoken, my friends. It has not been spoken yet. Because resurrection is coming. That even in the worst moments, you may be one breath away from something new. Something new. Is that how you see it? I realize this is a big stretch, and I think that's why it's called faith. Because I think it takes a lot for us to choose to participate in these things. And the last thing I want to say is that I believe that the scriptures are inspired in much the same way that you're inspired. You're inspired too. Have you ever thought of that? How the scripture is inspired, I think, is very connected to how you, as a human, are inspired. Yeah, you're just a humble bag of skin and bones, and yet divinely created, breathed into. How do you put that together? Spirit and breath. And right now, in this moment, the very spirit and breath of God is being breathed into you. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to use that to do this world repair, insisting that you and me and people just like us can do our part to help participate in the renewal of all things here on earth? That we can choose and start with the people that are in front of us right now in this room, in our home. I find that really inspiring. How about you? Let's sit with that. One of the best sounds I've ever heard in my life is when my son Ryan and my daughter Alex were born. And what did they do? They screamed for the first time. Then I knew that they were alive because breath was coming out of their body. And I think about that so often. As you watch a child come into the world, the first thing they do is breathe the breath of God It is such a beautiful picture to me. And I want you, and I encourage you, to pay attention to your breath this week and how God may be speaking to you in each moment, that every moment is loaded with a possibility. You don't know what's going to happen. God may show up in ways that you never expected, but just to enjoy the process this week. And may you go with a deep awareness that God is with you in all things, and may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with all of you. Thank you.